I can do the freak. I can do the RoboCop. I can do the Freddy. I cannot do the Smurf. And I can watch TV. I can shuffle off to Buffalo. I can do a back bend. I will not call you back. And I can start a book. I can make some mac and cheese. I can sleep 12 hours. You'll never see my eyes. And I can do the freak. I can do the RoboCop. I can do the Freddy. I cannot do the Smurf.
You cannot do the Smurf.
And I can hate your girl. I can tell you that she's real pretty. I can take my clothes off. I cannot fall in love. You'll never see my eyes. I will not call you back. I cannot do the Smurf. I cannot fall in love. I'll never fall in love. I cannot 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 fall in love. And I can do the Frug. I can do the RoboCop. I can do the Freddy. I cannot do the Smurf.
You cannot do the Smurf.
You've been listening to PTO Junction on CILU Radio 102.7 FM in Thunder Bay. Around the world at luradio.ca. I've been your host, Aaron Pearson. Thanks very much for listening. You can find me on the internet and all of the usual places. Check out luradio.ca for all your community radio needs. John Prine is going to miss out. Good night.
Feelings are strange, especially when they come true. And I had a feeling that you'd be leaving soon. So I tried to rearrange all my emotions. But it seems the same no matter what I do. Blue umbrella rests upon the shoulder. Hide the pain while the rain makes up my mind. Well, my feet are wet from thinking this thing over. And it's been so long since I felt the warm sunshine. Just give me one good reason, and I promise I won't ask you anymore. Just give me one extra season so I can figure out the other four. Daytime makes me wonder why you left me. Nighttime makes me wonder what I said. Next time are the words I'd like to plan on. The last time was the only thing you said. Blue umbrella rests upon the shoulder. Hide the pain while the rain makes up my mind. Well, my feet feet all wet from thinking this thing over. And it's been so long since I felt the warm sunshine. Just give me one good reason, and I promise I won't ask you anymore. Just give me one extra season so I can figure out the other four.
CILU is supported in part by the students of Lakehead University, our sponsors, and our listeners. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
The Rec and Culture Division of Thunder Bay, bringing free events to the waterfront and all of Thunder Bay. Check out thunderbay.ca/events for more info and follow them on Facebook. Joey's Restaurant, a tasty little place for seafood, located at 595 Arthur Street West. Visit them Tuesdays for all-you-can-eat fish and chips and Thursdays $5 fish tacos. Some conditions apply. The Thunder Bay Blues Fest. Log on to tbayblues.ca to keep up with all the news on Thunder Bay's largest annual music festival, entering its 19th year in 2020.
Geeks are pre-recorded. You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. That was Nate Wants to Battle with It's Terror Time Again. I'm Andrew.
I'm Rob.
I'm Megan.
I'm Kyle. And Chris cut out. And we're your Thunder Geeks.
We're your Thunder Geeks. Welcome again to another fantastic episode over Discord. We'll let Chris know. Of course, we're brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. We do have a couple of celebrations right off the hop here. First one is, Kyle, you've been diving into them. Like, I'm going to be a Twitch stream.
All right. So here's the big thing. I've been so enthralled with watching things like Mr. Beast and Laserbeam do those like Twitch Santa streams where he gives back like fat donations, things like that. I want to be that Twitch streamer. I want to be that community host and everything like that. So I've been going hard on doing everything Twitch related. Thanks to a lot of support and friends and stuff like that, I have just about reached the affiliate stage. So I passed the 50 followers needed today.
Nice. Yay. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and I've been growing pretty steadily, pretty fast, and I'm thankful for everybody that I have. It's they come along during the streams. I just got to wait for that sweet, sweet email from Twitch and
congrats.
Start the journey.
No, it's been nice. It's been nice. We've had a couple of growing occasions over the last month here. So, you know, we had that. Facebook finally hit 1,000 likes. And then also shout out to Rice Poison, who knew?
100,000.
She's super famous on TikTok. I'm like, man, like, I've watched her videos. I'm like, she's really good. There's great production value. And
it's like, so the thing, hold on. So the thing about Rice is that they have been building this community for quite a long time. And it's honestly pretty crazy the amount of fans that they have. Like, even like at conventions, they'll have like fangirls like running and screaming, Rice, can we take let's do TikToks together.
They made a TikTok where they showed it was like, what was it, like June 2017 or something like that? They had like 10.
May, yeah. And then.
Yeah, and then it's just boom, 100,000 in 2 years. Three years. Damn.
Yeah, it is a meteoric rise, and congratulations, that is fantastic. She's also always been like really supportive of us, and I'm glad to see all the hard work they put in pay off.
Yeah,
I'm glad we live in a community where like all the content creators in Thunder Bay actually get along and support each other.
Yeah, hell yeah, we do.
It feels nice.
We're doing stuff. Let's do some stuff. That's lots of fun.
Just me talking like to a lot of the people who do Twitch streaming and stuff like that. We're like, co-op streams, let's get into it. We're going to get you started. We're going to bring you into this community. Loranna has been like a huge person where she's like, yo, go follow this. Like, here's Kyle's stream where she hosts me and stuff like that, which has been huge. And any questions you have, boom, they're there. They help you right off the bat. Like,
collaboration.
Exactly.
Stop. Collaborate and listen.
Ice is back with a brand new edition. Don't
careful, Kyle might get mad.
Like, long enough.
Get mad because you're singing.
Wait,
not allowed to sing.
Oh, that's not singing.
Only
that's rapping.
8 seconds.
It's copyright.
It's fair that I'm not allowed to sing,
Andrew.
But can I rap?
So Twitch Sings has California Love on it, and I want to actually upload me doing like the full Dr. Dre and Tupac like choruses.
You want to do a shot just, for shot?
I've done it because when I was working at the movie theater, the Tupac movie played and California Love was like on repeat coming out of the thing. So I'd sit there at the door and rap along with the whole thing. And like it's the same way that I learned that what is that? Oh, hey, thanks for Rose Malice for the follow. It's also that Beauty and the Beast had Evermore as their end credit song, and that got drilled into my head. So when Twitch Sings has the 2017 Evermore, I was like, I got this. I don't even need the lyrics on screen. I don't need this. I'm just going to grab my microphone and have at her.
So, I mean, since we're already talking about you streaming and stuff, because I understand you and Chris have been playing together recently at twitch.tv/frozenfire727, I believe.
God bless.
And Andrew, what's mine?
Chris the Tripod.
Boom. Nailed it.
Boom.
I did it.
Nailed it.
Because you changed it. It was slightly different before, so I know you changed it slightly, so that's... It was autonomous.
Yeah, it was the autonomous tripod, but him, our good friend Cash, and I have been really into Riot's new FPS shooter, CSGO
Overwatch.
Yeah, CSGO Overwatch. No, so they released a game called Valorant, and now Valorant has been... very talked about, very heavily streamed throughout the entirety of the beta and everything like that. Uh-huh. It is all the CSGO mechanics. You run faster with the knife. Certain guns do headshots. You have to buy rounds. You have to buy your guns at the start of the round.
If Kyle still can't shoot.
I can't shoot the broadside of a barn, so that's every stream. But like,
Chris, I mean, Kyle, I can empathize with that because we've all played Halo together. Now, here's the problem.
Yeah.
You know who was a worse shot than you?
I was the better Halo player in that. So basically the big thing is it's CSGO, but there's characters you can pick that all have utilities or like class abilities that you can get.
Yeah.
With like ultimates, things like that. And They give you...
It's their own hero shooter, essentially.
It's their own, it's their own hero shooter. So you get your own class mechanics. You have to buy your ability, the two abilities at the start. You get credits every round for...
It's not actual money. It's, the in-game currency money, that they use.
You can
buy CSGO in that sense.
You could buy skins for your weapons, but that's about it. If you want to, you can buy a battle pass that gives you sprays, things like that. It's the usual. When it's free.
When it's a
free game.
I'm good with it. I have my hate boner for pay to win.
So there's no pay to win mechanics for this. Fantastic. You get five characters off the start, and once you level to 10, once you level to 5, you get a free character to pick from the locked ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you hit level 10, you can do it again.
Yeah, once you hit level 10, you get to pick another one. So you have 7 free characters right off the bat out of 10.
Yeah.
Nice.
So and the ones that if you miss it, it's not going to bother you. It's all based on play style. So certain abilities, the one that Chris bought is Omen, who has a lot of
he sucks. He's so bad. I bought him. I don't even play him. I play Phoenix, who Kyle and Cash both hate when I play Phoenix because he has a flashbang.
You're not allowed to play Phoenix anymore because he has a curved flashbang. So you have to whip it around walls. But Chris whips it, it hits the wall and bounces back, and all of our screens go bright white so we can't see anything, and we're okay.
Chris. It's really bad, but it's really funny.
Training, Kyle. If you cannot become one with your character and shoot only by sound, then Chris is doing you a favor.
It's bad. Myself too.
It's bad. But he's also got a straight line wall that you can throw down that lights up, and so you can't see through it. He heals with it too.
Same with his napalm grenade thing.
Why does this guy sound so OP? He's got everything.
these are all characters have their own niche market to it. The character I play is called Viper, and what that she does is a love. Yeah, she so Viper's main thing is she's got a shootable little poison puddle on the ground. People stand in it. She dies.
She squirts.
Her other one is a poison toxic cloud that you can activate and deactivate as you want. She's got fart clouds.
Awesome.
And then she's got a fart wall. So Chris's wall, except I can literally shoot it across over walls and cut off entire points.
You have forced people to go it's a literal wall that you throw at them.
Yeah,
so it's a literal wall that if they go through
thin, so they can just run through it.
But if they run through it, it gives us the advantage because they have no idea where we are, but we see them running through it.
Yeah.
Her ultimate is one huge AoE poison cloud.
It's a fart. Kyle.
I can stand in it, and it stays up. It also highlights enemies that walk into it while they take damage. So they light up bright red, and I can see them, but they can't really see me in the cloud.
Yeah. The only real catch about it is that teammates will also take damage in it.
Yes, your teammates. If I will walk by and shoot my poison cloud, and then I have my allies go, "What is this?" And I'm like, "Oh, sorry." So I put down the main game mechanic is you either kill the entire team or you put down a spike, which is a bomb.
Okay.
It's it's the C4 in CSGO, essentially.
Yeah, it's the C4 in CSGO. You plant it, it starts up, and then after a certain amount of time, blows up. The big thing is one of the big strategies with her is to get her into the best point, use her giant AoE poison, and set down the spikes, and then you sit up and you find a good point to sit at. And she's really fun. A lot of characters use Jet, which is a wind chick who can actually jump up on walls and stuff like that, and
platforms. He's got a boosted jump.
Yeah, so she
Is this the white haired chick?
Yeah, the one who actually throws kunai.
Kunai. Yeah.
I've watched Naruto. She throws kunai.
Kunai with chain.
And if you kill somebody with the kunai, it regenerates. Sage is the ice one, so she throws down a giant slow puddle of ice, and she actually puts up an ice wall that you have to shoot through.
She can res, can she?
I think she's the one that has the Rez tour.
Yeah.
Where you can like pick up an ally. Yeah, one of the characters has a Rez. I can't remember who. The other free ones are, I think his name's like Brim or something like that.
Brimstone.
Brimstone, who has the grenade.
It's like an orbital strike is like an alt.
Yeah, he's got an orbital strike alt where you can call down anywhere on the map. He's got smoke bombs that you can call down on the map and like cover an area so they have to either like run through the smoke and you know, be blinded, or
he has an incendiary grenade.
Yeah, you can set up choke points. You have an incendiary grenade. They're all like very well fleshed out characters. Like you can play how you want to in
this
game.
Dynamic and diverse.
It's still balanced because like the abilities don't matter. It's the guns and like your aim.
Yeah. Okay, so there's one character.
Oh, there's someone broken.
Uh-oh. So there's one character that I feel is a tidbit a little broken. Her name is Raze.
That always happens.
Yeah.
So Raze has a grenade that blows up into more grenades and a rocket launcher as her alt.
Uh-huh.
Rocket launcher will literally like blow you to just smithereens and can like multi-shot people. If you get really, if people get really good with her, they can like curve bank shot off of like walls and stuff like that with the grenade and like blow up after points and
ooh,
it gets wild. But yeah, like you learn really quickly that certain guns like do more damage to the body or headshots depending on if you can, like
the op just kills.
The op is was the big sniper rifle that you can get that is like a one shot like, gone kill.
It's like the 50 cal sniper kind of deal.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of game that it, you have to like in the blink of an eye your character will die.
Okay.
100% if it's you get seen just dead. But like true.
Like Siege kind of thing.
Yeah, it's honestly in the same vein as Siege, where the only difference is I can see people in this game because it's colorful, whereas Siege, everybody is the same stain of brown. So, like, they're standing at a table and they're moving back and forth, and I'm like, I can't see a goddamn thing.
Oh, I can feel you.
So, at least Valorant is very colorful, very fleshed out. The maps are super easy to learn. You don't
there's
have
only
to
like
worry
three
about,
right now, right?
Yeah, there's only like three. There, you don't have to worry about learning the ups and downs, the third point, which window is better to go through, anything like that. There's like
call
two,
out for real easy.
Yeah, there's usually like two lanes you can go down. There's like points A, B, or C. Some I think one map has 3 points to it.
One map has a C. The other two have like A and B.
Yeah. So you usually decide with a team if you're on defense, you spread out like to make sure to see what point they're going on.
Yeah.
If you're on attack, a lot of the times they'll just bum rush 1 point, so it'll be like everybody goes to A. And it's a really, really wicked game, honestly. Even for people like me who don't aren't that good at FPS and stuff like that.
It's not
whereas,
your main genre, but you'll play.
It's not my main genre, but it's fun with friends.
Yeah.
To talk,
especially like, when they talk about CS:GO during the whole time, you just lift your sweater up slowly.
Yeah. So every time Chris and Cash started going on about like the mechanics and this gun does this and this does this, I'd sit here on stream and just be like,
ooh.
Okay.
Well, it's because like me and Cash are more in that area of just like FPS and whatnot.
Yeah, Chris, so I don't, like you're amazing at FPS, and it unfortunately translated to real life as well, which was insane. So don't let people tell like, hey, playing video games apparently made Chris great at laser tag. So Chris will be the unlike secret weapon in the
not just laser tag,
because not
dodging lasers.
Because not only can Chris like. Is he preserved for literally forever? You actually would be our, if we have one gun, our best option is to hand it to Chris and say, buddy, you're the only one that's got a shot at doing this.
If we're counting people, I'm bringing Cash because that guy could snipe like,
I mean, if
a
we
singular
people, yeah,
if,
actually
between
shoot,
me,
that's
no.
One thing.
Andrew, on almost every single round that started, Cash is like, 1 second. And you just see him like wander off on his own.
Yeah.
And the barrier goes down and boom, somebody dies.
Yeah, nine times out of ten, Cash was MVP.
2 seconds into the game and character dies.
But
you know how aggravating it would be?
Tag.
I'm assuming he's phenomenal at anything shooter based because we've now played three different shooters. And guess what?
Who's the current laser tag champion?
I don't know, some guy who thinks he's a lord.
I am a lord.
I mean, we could give Rob the gun, but I don't want to give
Do you
Rob
really trust
gun
that?
Because Rob's just going to use the gun to be in charge. Like, Chris, I don't think we'll mutiny against
yes.
him. He's a team player. If we give Rob the gun saying, okay, if, you know, say every say we have, like, Mad Max situation suddenly outside of the studio. So, like, major destruction everywhere. We're all having to compete for resources, and we got one gun. If we give it to Rob, Rob is now, ha-ha, I'm in charge. And I don't want Rob,
yeah, Rob is
in charge. I want him as a support utility, but not in charge.
And yeah, Rob would most
Megan.
Rob is most likely to power trip. Andrew can't manipulate Rob into doing what he wants.
Yes.
But if he gives the gun to Chris, there's a good chance you can manipulate Chris to doing what you want too, so.
Thanks, Megan.
Slight
thanks.
Slight shots. Oh,
shoot Andrew like and then on... deal with everybody.
Okay, Megan, you're not wrong, but this sounds like you're on team.
I'm not on team Rob. I don't want Rob to have the gun either because I know he'd start power tripping tantrums. He's like a little kid, like, I said I wanted bubble tea.
That was one time. And Andrew was a twit about it.
I was.
That was one time, 70 times that night.
We passed like three of them. We'll find another one.
I was rightfully angry.
Yes, I understand.
But the one
you could say you were robbed.
Wait, Rob. The one we found was great, though, wasn't it?
Wasn't worth the wait.
What?
What you mean?
It was pretty good.
We don't know that yet. We have to go back to Toronto, and we will do a flight of bubble teas. So we'll just get a bubble tea from every area, just around, up that street.
Yes.
And then we'll see if it was worth it. Actually, no, Rob. Rob, I can justify it. It was worth it. It was entirely worth it. It was, in fact, destiny. How did we find the maid cafe, Rob?
Oh, yeah, there was the sign above the bubble tea.
It was
that was destiny. Right next door.
We could not achieve nirvana without pain and struggle mostly experienced by you. Because every hero's journey needs to have an obstacle. And sometimes that obstacle is bloody blisters on your feet, throbbing and infected. But the reward was the next year's we got to go to the maid cafe.
He's staring at you like, you're right, but I'm still angry.
That's Uncle, fine. Uncle you can be angry. You can be angry. I know that mistakes were made, Rob. I agree with that. However, destiny played out. And don't
it was you believe, all part of the plan.
Don't you believe in destiny, Rob? Don't you believe in hope?
It's okay, babe. You'll get them next time.
It's okay, we'll get them next time.
Andrew's like, I know that you were in pain and you were upset and you were suffering, but
Mates.
I have to go to a maid cafe.
We had amazing cheesecake.
We still have a bag from that over here.
That was an
it's
amazing cheesecake.
It's a quality bag.
Uncle Tetsy's maid cafe.
Yes, Uncle Tetsy's.
Also, I'm still staring down Andrew because he refuses to acknowledge that I am Laser King champion.
Oh,
y'all went against me and
that's
tried.
Fair. No, that's fair, Rob. You are
cheating.
Laser King champion. You are fantastic and you are a one-man army.
That being said,
Megan is also right.
Oh, yeah, I'd go nuts.
We all
I'd go nuts.
Trust Chris more with the gun than Rob. Because, I mean, yeah.
Chris, you know how to turn on a safety, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, well, speaking of shooty-shooty bang-bangs, let's talk about the Looney Tunes controversy. This is dumb.
Oh.
This is so dumb. This is, like, I'm
not
outraged
I thought he was going
by
with that.
It. I'm more, I'm like.
Okay, so I didn't know that they gave him a replacement weapon.
Okay, well,
yeah,
let's set up what actually right. happened. So
go for it.
Well, okay, so HBO Max, they are making new Looney Tunes cartoons in the style of the original animated shorts with high production values. But they decided that they needed to make a change that Elmer Fudd, whose really main characteristic is that he is a hunter, and it's rather duck season or wabbit season.
Wabbit season.
In order to combat gun violence, they are going to take away Elmer Fudd's gun.
Yep. They're giving him a scythe.
They're going to
what?
A knife?
A scythe.
A scythe.
Farmer scythe.
So he's like, what, a wheat farmer now?
He's a hunter with a scythe.
That's terrifying.
I'm not.
That's even more scary.
That's scarier.
Is that just sounds like dialect?
I mean, see, my problem with Elmer Fudd is that they did that like very small short about him and about his grilled cheese, and it was like almost like he was sexually attracted to the grilled cheese, and I was like, oh, that's Chris.
I was about to be like, no. Yeah, if only they made it a gun sight, that would make it so much cooler. But like, yeah, no. So they're giving
a ruby.
We haven't quite seen it, but Yosemite Sam is getting the same treatment with his pistols.
What? Okay,
where so he's getting them.
You brought that up as well, where it's like, man,
yeah.
If Elmer Fudd is defined by being a hunter, you know who is only defined by shooting guns in the air? Yosemite Sam.
Yosemite Sam literally just shoots pistols in the air. Why isn't that
actually? I'm gonna be a bit of a nerd here, but when they did the new Looney Tunes show, the one before this,
yes,
yeah, Yosemite Sam was the driving instructor who sat in the baby seat.
That's fair.
And I love that series.
That was a sitcom series. That was very different than like when they're doing like the classic.
Yeah, the Looney Tunes.
And I agree. But I still think that show is underrated and people get mad about the sitcom thing. It's hilarious.
I agree. I loved it. I think they did amazing things with Lola Bunny. My issue is which kids were kind of imitating Yosemite Sam and Elmer Fudd? Because they were never the hero characters. Like for me, I tried to imitate Roadrunner and tried to do the two clicks in the air, and that's how I learned to do the two clicks in the air.
So like two things is someone brought up that yeah, they should have changed it to a crossbow.
Yeah, I agree.
That would have made so much more sense.
Make a Walking Dead joke.
Elmer Fudd's gun, one, never killed anybody.
No.
Because it blew up 90% of the time, which made me afraid that guns blew up 90% of the time.
Yeah, that's the only that's the more detail.
His gun exploded every single time, and I'm like, well, I'm not gonna shoot a gun because it's gonna blow up on me. I guess I'll go with a bow and arrow that's gonna give me a splinter and a welt at worst.
You stick your finger inside the barrel and then it peels back like a banana.
Like, I understand where they're coming from, yeah, gun safety and all that sort of stuff, but like,
it feels like a hollow gesture rather than something that matters.
If you noticed, as my friend pointed out, that Looney Tunes and everything like that are one of the first people to post at the start of their old episodes and stuff like that, that this is outdated content, yes, that reviews are different, everything's changed this point in time. So
if you ever have a chance, watch their World War II propaganda shorts.
Oh, they're fantastic.
They're horrible, but they're fantastic at the same time.
Well, it's one of those things is that it was specifically involved within a war effort for propaganda and stuff. But if you go back farther, they also have the extremely racist band cartoons. And they've displayed those, they have a whole disclaimer ahead of them saying is like, this is something that was a product of the time. Does that apply? Yosemite Sam, I can kind of see where his whole character is just shooting guns.
It's just shooting guns.
Elmer Fudd having a scythe is kind of weird. I mean,
Elmer Fudd's a hunter.
But the thing with Looney Tunes is they've always been about cartoon violence. Like, it's actually a very violent cartoon, and that's why it was controversial back in the day. But the argument that it's like, oh, they see it, so they're going to imitate it, is something that's been around for so long and is usually used against a lot of media. It makes me uncomfortable as an argument, because we've seen it about video games with every tragedy.
Yeah.
And applying that to Looney Tunes is like, I guess it's your property. You can choose to. Does it really matter? No. But it feels like a distraction from the conversation they should be having rather than, you know.
Yes.
Hey, how about donate? How about donate to try to promote some legislation instead of just slightly changing an old short?
In that regard, I actually like reached out to somebody who works in worked with the firearms and stuff like that, and I had her give me a huge rundown of what it takes to get like a firearm and everything in Canada. Holy hell.
Situation for us.
You have to go
through
so
difficult.
Many background checks, so many expensive like licensing issues. You have to have references from so many people that you've known for many years. Like, it's a very in-depth process. Like, it's a very detailed process, and unfortunately with like the recent tragedy, what happened is they decided to just blanket assault style, which isn't a real type of
it's scary looking.
It's a buzzword that they used.
Yes.
to hype it up and just blanket it so people felt comfortable not addressing the real issue that the guy stole cop uniforms and used him to, like, perform his own ride checks and, like, had a history of domestic violence that nobody looked at, had all this sort of stuff, but they immediately pointed the thing at the gun and went, ah, we'll ban it.
That's what it kind of feels similar here, because you'll see the states being an even worse degree, because, I mean, we grew up in Northern Ontario. We know a lot of people into gun culture, and I usually respect
a lot of hunters'
opinions. A lot of hunters. It's different for us than, say, somewhere like Toronto or one of the larger cities, especially within the United States. But it feels like kind of the same sort of gesture where it's like, okay, we got to feel like we're doing something. So you know what's going to help? Elmer Fudd doesn't have a gun anymore. Problem solved. You know, we took a step forward here today, folks. We're just going to pat ourselves on the back and feel good about it. Where it's like, guys, I mean, that's it feels like it's set up to distract from the conversation that should be happening right away by focusing on the frivolousness of whether a cartoon hunter man who is dumb
has never
successfully hunted anything in his entire cartoon career, whether he needs to have a gun or a scythe.
And I think there was one time he thought he killed bugs and he was super depressed about it. Yeah,
like, I don't know.
We have to take our first break here, folks, but keep that dial locked to Thunder Geeks on 102.7 FM CILU. Around the world at luradio.ca.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
CILU is supported in part by the students of Lakehead University, our sponsors, and our listeners. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Copperfin Credit Union, Northwestern Ontario's largest locally owned credit union. Experience the convenience of their mobile banking app and online financial solutions anywhere, anytime. Copperfin Credit Union, life forward. Sarah Curtin, your neighborhood realtor. She's on top of what's happening in Thunder Bay's market, and she'll help you buy or sell your home. Call or text her anytime at 632-3635 or find her online at sarahcurtin.com. The Walleye, the definitive source for information on music, food, art, and entertainment in Thunder Bay. This month's issue is on stands for free now. Find it around town or online and interactive at thewalleye.ca.
1, 2, 3, 4. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
There'd be no more crime, cause everybody'd have a gun.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
We wouldn't need the police no more, cause everybody'd have a gun.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Had a gun.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Had a gun.
Nobody'd ever get shot, cause everybody'd have a gun.
Makes sense.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? We could go out and shoot things. 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 We could go out and shoot things.
We'd all feel safe,
cause everybody have a gun. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Had a gun.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Had a gun.
Everyone be equal, cause
because everybody'd have a gun.
Not me, I'd got me a rifle.
Well, hang on, if you got yourself a rifle, then I want to get me a semi-automatic weapon.
You get a semi-automatic weapon, then I'm going to want an automatic weapon.
You get yourself an automatic weapon, I'm going to get a super automatic weapon.
If you get a super automatic weapon, then I'm going to get a super duper automatic weapon with a CD-ROM drive.
If you get yourself one of those, I'm going to get a super duper automatic weapon with a CD-ROM drive and a big old hard drive and a big guitar amp so I can play BTO.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a weapon of their choice? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a weapon of their choice? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
I'll be able to chase you from here to Saigon, and then I'll shoot like little Nerf rockets at you and poke you in the eye, because I'll have automatic like finger poking in the eye thing, and I'll get myself another
one,
guitar
two,
amp
three,
because
four.
I really like
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
And we're back. You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM, CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. That was the Arrogant Worms with Let There Be Guns. Now back to the show.
Don't you think this could go in this direction? Don't you think this could be like a great commentary for them to like maybe have Elmer kind of like look teach at his, you know, his firearm and be like, teach gun safety, teach other stuff. Like even maybe just have him transition to like the crossbow. And then maybe if they're from there on, he's like, oh, maybe he like goes through the same thing again where he feels like he kills bugs, feels bad about it.
If you're
maybe get him to be like vegetarian from there, you know what I mean?
I agree. That would be a lot more poignant if they actually want to make a statement instead of just, you know, creating a false controversy to kind of hype up the streaming service with just a frivolous change. Something I used to see a lot more within the older cartoons as well. There used to be educational content required within a lot of animation. And those have been loosened, especially in the States within the past few decades, which, you know, there's good and bad about that, where they don't have to put a moral lesson into animation, but there's also a sort of lack of educational-based cartoons. Because I remember a lot growing up with a lot of different, like, educational Disney cartoons that kind of set a lot of those scientific ideas for me in motion. Especially, I don't remember the Professor Duck, but I remember those shorts.
Like, I remember at the end of like every episode of Sailor Moon, Serena would, you know, give you like a little pep talk, you know, like a little pep talk, little like just after the show like had ended, you know, she would come and say like the word of the day, basically.
Do you know the real reason they actually did that?
I do, but Rob, you can explain it.
The reason I heard, and if you've heard a different reason, I'll be surprised. It's because they cut out certain things in Sailor Moon.
Yes.
They needed to pad the rest of the episode.
Bingo.
So they would just have her talk about whatever. And sometimes she would just ramble about, like, I remember the eating properly one, and she's like, yeah, you gotta remember to eat food. And just like, that's how she said it. I'm like,
oh, I forget sometimes to eat food.
So, yeah, it's just the
weirdest
way.
She was supposed to pretend to be like imagining about food.
I know, but it's like the pause they leave in the audio. It's so obvious they're just like stretching it out. We need like 7 more seconds.
I mean, Sonic needs to happen as well. I think I don't think you even need that. Cartoons have come a long way since then. They can weave moral messages within a story that, you know, both illustrates the issue well, also presenting in a way that's easy to understand, easy to consume, and have empathy towards.
I feel like Gargoyles did that really well.
Yes.
It's on story and characters. Okay. You can have the underlining things.
Yeah. I mean, does it actually matter? No. But right now, the conversation for them is whether they should have it or not, rather than what they should do about the whole issue. And that's something that always kind of frustrates me when we focus too much on the frivolousness of media, because The Hunt, what you talked about last week, had that same issue where that movie was delayed because people freaked out about a trailer that it turned out that, no, that's not, that was just the marketing gimmick. You have to letting different stories be told is important, and it's unfair to judge it before it comes out a lot of the time.
You remember the opening of the Harley Quinn episode with the two guys?
Yes.
Don't be those two guys.
The fan base?
Yes. Well, like, it's one of those things where their complaints are out of not substance, but more the ideas of it or the implications of think of the children. What if this and this happens? And it's like, oh, we're back to the same argument about video games. That media is going to influence behavior and thus we must ban media.
I've done so many like presentations and projects on like video games and violence.
Yeah.
That it's been so drilled in my head and the science of it all. And I've had so many arguments with people about it. And I'm like, listen, your kids now more than ever are growing up on an FPS like Fortnite or Apex Predators, things like that.
Warzone, like Siege, everything, Valorant.
All of this is free.
First-person shooters are the like one of the dominant genres now.
Yeah, and you got to think about it. And like, your kid's not going out and asking for an assault rifle. They're asking for some V-Bucks so they can go play. It's a Fortnite with their friends, and that's great. You don't see them going out and building out a whole house because they're building stuff in Fortnite.
I think the important thing is criminal. Wait, Kyle, are children getting into criminal carpentry because of video games?
Oh no!
Some researchers say yes.
I would
correction. Find out tonight at 11.
Honestly, if there was a study that put out that managed to make it so kids were getting super into building stuff because of Fortnite,
yeah,
great. That is a phenomenal life lesson from the game. But it's been more proven than anything that it's not causing anything. They're actually getting aggression out on the game that they don't have in real life. So they're doing fine in real life. And as someone pointed out, Grand Theft Auto 5 was just free. You don't see a million kids spiked up and now like
you don't see kids robbing cars and driving down the sidewalk that often. And when they do, there were other things going on.
There were much more underlying issues.
There is.
Yeah.
There's an infamous story from a couple years ago of what happened was because of the old mechanic in Grand Theft Auto, where if the car flipped over, it automatically exploded. A kid got in a car crash where the car flipped over and pulled their parent out of the car before it actually did explode because they were under the impression of that. It was, you know, it was a false, you know, impression and stuff. But more of these stories have often had a positive influence where it's rather increased reaction time or it has taught the idea of a survival skill rather than the survival skill itself. But that was enough.
For one story where it was old lady who had a heart attack and her young kid, grandchild, took the wheel because he remembered how to steer in Mario Kart.
Yeah.
So he pulled the car over to his side and yelled for help.
A kid defended his sister from a moose because he learned taunt mechanics in World of Warcraft.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, I love that story.
No word of a lie. This kid knew how to do proper taunting and, like, pathing and, like, running out of sight. So the moose didn't see him and everything like that. Proper aggro techniques because he learned it from World of Warcraft.
I love that. It saved his kid's life.
Yeah.
Like, I learned to read more so from video games than I did ever from anything else. And I'm not ashamed to admit that because video games have been my whole life.
Yeah.
I read
textbooks. Sorry for video games.
I read textbooks worth of novel from these video games that I play because a lot of them are RPGs. So there's a lot of in-depth story, in-depth dialogue, and I've actually learned like social cues from it, what not to do with people, how to talk to people, like what.
Okay, well now you're just bragging.
Now that they have dialogue trees to tell them what they do is going to tell them if it's bad or not. If like Mass Effect has a great system where if you're a jerk, guess what? Everybody's going to treat you like you're a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real life. Yeah. Like if you use these dialogue trees, if you want to treat people like that, you're gonna see the outcome of people treating you like you're an
garbage.
I remember when I was a kid, my parents weren't the biggest fan of me watching TV or things because you know TV rots your brain.
Yes.
But when I started watching subbed animes, they're like, "You're reading. Forget it. Whatever. You're reading those words. You're actually keeping up." I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, the people who watch subbed animes are probably one of the best speed readers I've ever known in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it, Chris. You got to read that sentence like as soon as they say it.
A lot of times they have a lot of dialogues going on, so there's multiple text that flies through the screen. I lose track because I haven't watched it all that, like, my life, right?
Yeah.
Anime is still relatively new to me, so...
I even have modes where I don't even need to look at the screen at this point. I just
like, you know Japanese.
Yeah. Chris, you've learned like parts of another language. You've learned Chinese history from Chris Dynasty Warriors.
It's a disturbing
samurai history from Samurai Warriors. I learned stuff from like Assassin's Creed too.
I learned I rocketed through Greek mythology and things like that because I was super into God of War and Age of Mythology and things like that.
Let's have the other side.
I remember there was an article. Yeah, I remember there was an article about this. Like, I remember that there was an article of a high school travel group that got lost in Italy.
Uh-huh.
I remember this.
But there was a student who had played Assassin's Creed, so they were able to actually lead the high school class to, like, one of the landmarks because they had played so much Assassin's Creed.
And that game is, like, a one-to-one scale of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you actually like learn fully through. Actually, yeah, somebody points out I've used it on my resume too, being a raid leader. I've led 25 people through 8-hour content. My friend here used guild management skills as a supervisor at work. Like, he's dealt with how many people of World of Warcraft, like myself, and like I was younger and I had to like lead 20, 30, 40 year old men through certain mechanics, making sure that they stood in the right spot, casted the right spells, made sure everybody was on track.
Yeah.
And I've used that in my resume, like, and interview things. It's when people are like, yeah, people tell me a time where you did so-and-so. And I'm like, well, I know it doesn't sound right, but
yeah.
In World of Warcraft, like, these are 8-9 hour periods that people have gone through and led random strangers that they have no idea. They learned. I've learned social skills through World of Warcraft. Like, I've learned friends, like, yeah. Kept friends through that.
Collaborate.
Right now, like, I rarely see one of my, like, best friends in real life. But we play World of Warcraft almost every day together for a couple hours, so I still, you know, socially interact with them. That's why, like, the quarantine right now, all these, like, a lot of the kids are like, yeah, that's great. There were stories of, like, people celebrating birthdays on Fortnite for random strangers who didn't have anybody, so now they have an actual party, friends, they get donated stuff, so it's like an actual birthday party.
Yeah.
And kids aren't missing out because they have these online events to go through.
Yes.
Whereas a lot of these people would have, you know, social anxiety issues, disorders, things like that. They're actually getting help through just random people like us. Like, I've had friends on Warcraft that I've talked to that have gone through like divorces and like grief issues, counseling, things like that. And the guild comes together and we like hang out and just talk with the person for like a couple hours. And guess what? That's like hanging out with your friends in your backyard at a fire.
Yeah.
I've heard stories of like guilds going to people's funerals that they've never met because they lost a guild. Yeah.
There have been guild meetups where people meet up in real life and they all have like brand new friends. They talk about, you know, families, friends, things like that. I've shared things with guild members that I've like never shared with people before because I had trust in them. They're people from around the world. You get to actually learn more about cultures too and through that as well.
Like I'm most
my friend here in Florida
with people like across the world have just been through online and through community.
Yeah, it's the way that things are now, it seems like everybody's so far apart, but in reality a lot of gamers and things like that are closer than they've ever been to friends, families, things like that.
Yeah,
I do kind of want to have the other side of the conversation though, because you mentioned like a lot of kids get their aggression out through video games and stuff, but there is a very toxic portion of gamers, and I know them well. Yes. I know them well. I
League of Legends.
I mean, beyond that, I mean, the angriest board has always been V for video games, and it's a very competitive nature that could be fed into there, where trash talk can be put to such a degree that it comes out through a horrendous way.
Like, some people use the veil of video games and anonymity as a way to vent and say things that they should never ever say.
Yeah.
Do things that they should never do. Like, I've seen in the last couple weeks, even on Warcraft, we've seen a lot of horrendous things actually start popping up, and people acting like they shouldn't, saying things just out of spite, everything like that. But like, you can report them, you can do whatever. It's on the onus of the company to run through and
system.
And find out who that is.
On it, especially, it can get worse with the people who are intentionally trying to inflict it, because you can have that double speak where you always have it out, where you're gaslighting. You know how to push the buttons of people, but you're doing it in a way where you, if a moderator looks at it and just on the surface level, they go, oh, okay, no, this is just someone overreacting. I'm going to ignore it.
This is a thing that I never thought about until recently because of a different podcast, but I do think it's important to think about, and I do want to share it to maybe our listeners who haven't heard. Yeah. We grew up on the mentality of don't feed the trolls.
Yes.
But we shouldn't do that anymore. We should report these bad people. We should get them kicked out because...
It's not enough to just ignore them anymore.
No.
Yeah.
There has to be consequences for their negative actions.
There does.
You'll always notice that the loudest person is always the person with the lowest score. And it's really like, I feel like it's very important as like people who are raising, you know, kids who are on the, like the team speak, it's like really important that you have to listen to what they're saying.
Yeah.
Like, I think that needs to be something that parents need to, you know, like we need to be more paying more attention to what the kids are saying. Like even with Emily, like she'll get very, very upset sometimes, but she just does what I do. And she just rees, like she just screeches. So, but when we notice that she's like getting a little too screechy, we like to go up and be like, hey, we get you're frustrated. Just take a break, you know?
Yeah.
Take a second, like get away, like take a breath, have a snack, come watch a stupid anime with us.
I've seen Kyle do that, where he'll just like walk away because he needs to take a breather.
There have been times where I've stopped, put my like controller, put my mouse down, and just went, I have to do something else for like a minute or two because I'm done.
Yeah,
it's a lot of League,
and that's
it's a lot of League.
And that's where I think like a lot of parents need to, you know, like start paying attention in that aspect. And I know that there's not a lot of parents that will do that, and that's unfortunate. But then I guess that's like where the community comes in, and us as a community, we have to be like, hey man, you know, don't do that.
That's a big
like,
push right now.
It's
a lot of communities are not accepting any sort of like racial talk, any sort of bad mouthing, anything like that. Immediately you're kicked out of a group. You don't have a leg to stand on because it's not enough to just not be racist or anything anymore. You have to be anti.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're not trying to actively stand against it, then it's a passive permission. Robbie, you brought up something, though, like don't feed the trolls. I kind of want to expand upon that because I might know a thing or two. One of the issues...
Well, really? You might?
Maybe. I mean, it's crazy, crazy notion. One of the issues can be is, and the reason before is you always... Most times it was just one person. You weren't going in with, you just have one person that's, you know, saying outrageous things to get a reaction out of people. And then people respond and then they're like, aha, I'm going to do it more. The problem now is that more sophisticated trolls aren't just one person. They're not just the person that is saying the outlandish things. They're also the person responding to them. And they are then fueling that reaction to build it up farther.
Trevor's axiom.
And when you create a conversation within itself, you just to get the attention, because everyone loves a train wreck. I mean, as terrible as humans we are, it's just true. Everyone loves a train wreck. I mean, you could say it's like, oh, I'm not going to watch, but enough people are that it's going to get attention. That if platforms and people aren't being more vigilant about it, it's very hard to overcome. And even then, like, some platforms are so large, it's impossible to really comprehend like the level that we're talking about here. As you know, like, I follow a lot of fake news, like conspiracy and fake news groups, not because I believe in any of them. I just want to see what they're saying. But the outlandish thing is that some of these communities are up to like 150,000 people all believing that the earth is flat, but it's going to stay there and it's going to keep perpetuating that information. And I'm remiss between of things should be expressed. Art should be art, and you should be able to put things out there with, on the flip side of free speech, are we enabling ideas to grow larger that are absolutely detached from reality because they are given a platform to do so?
With watching, I showed the video to Rob today too, actually. I've been super obsessed with watching Laserbeam, and he goes through a lot of Reddits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But he has one specific video where he talks about how Flat Earth Society since 2006 have believed that Australia is a hoax.
Yeah.
And he actually shows people's videos where they're trying to explain that, like, no, you're actually on a trip to New Zealand, but you're actually drugged and you're like landing down and it's nothing there. And he's like, this can't be real, but it's real.
It's real.
The best part of the video is he goes outside and he's like,
yeah,
it's
he literally just steps outside of his house because he's in Australia and he's like, no, it's real.
It's an interesting thing to watch the spread, because I've been following these sorts of things since before they had a platform like Facebook and YouTube and Twitter.
Hey, 4chan.
Upon, before they were a lot more self-contained, you had to go looking for it. It was within a PHP-coded forum that you had to have an account on, and there was very self-contained, and that's kind of how the internet was. So you would have these, you know, insular communities where, yeah, you would have a lot of crazy people and stuff, but unless they went looking, they wouldn't stumble across it. They wouldn't be slowly indoctrinated into replacing, you know, facts with fantastical fictions that where they have a secret knowledge. But now when you see it, you know, spread to other sort of communities where you can passively discover this stuff, I don't know if the result has been, oh man, we're accidentally convincing people of a lot of crazy nonsense, a lot of extreme nonsense. And this is also feeding back in through, because teenage boys, as a formerly awful teenage boy, boys can
be
terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Teenagers are terrible.
Teenagers.
I've been like,
I'll call it, I'll say teenage male gamers. Can be hyper competitive. There is this class of sort of person, but when they've been put into this extreme sort of mindset because they have passively absorbed all of this insane stuff, you will see that will be kind of the worst sort of instigators of gaming communities.
I 100% have been very straightforward in telling people that, like, yeah, I've haven't been the greatest person throughout my entire life. I went through that phase of being a toxic individual not thinking about my words, not caring about learning anything about the community. But as I like pointed out today, I reached out, I learned a lot about the gun laws and things about that. Mm-hmm. And instead of being an uninformed person, just going, yeah, you can shoot and shooting. I wanted to actually learn all the way down to her telling me about like the ammo capacities you can have and like the certain things, the grandfather law for like having passing down a rifle, the ability to sell it. I wanted to learn everything she had. So like,
and it's one
that's the big thing
comes from inspiring a curious mind.
Yeah, one of the big things right now is it's not enough to just sit and listen. You actually have to learn.
Yeah.
You have to take the initiative to want to learn. You have to take the initiative to physically change yourself for the better, because we came from the start of the internet where everybody just sat in their own little bubble going, yeah, everybody's right in this community. Nobody's going to tell me I'm wrong. Surprise, you're wrong.
It's been
a fool thinks he knows all, a wise man admits he knows nothing.
I 100% will admit that I know don't know a lot of things about stuff, but like, sure, video games and technology and stuff like that, if you need help, yeah, come and help it out.
We just got a new coworker at Eat Local, and you know, I noticed he had an accent. I asked, where are you from? And he's like, oh, I'm from Rwanda. Cool. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah.
And he like starts to teach him. Dude speaks four languages.
That's right. Cool.
Yeah.
And then like after we finished talking, he looks at me and goes, you're the first person to ask me about that.
Which sucks.
That's what sucks
is that people don't want to take the initiative to like learn.
Yeah. Like, Andrew, you make the jokes on me all the time, but like I've taught you a thing or two about Polish history that
you very much have. You very much know. Rob, I love and adore your culture and your pride within it. And I mean, you are the most worldly among us, hilariously enough.
100%. I can't say I've never left Ontario anymore.
Yeah, we changed that.
But I've gone a province over, but up until that, I've never left the province. And I 100% accept that all of my worldviews and things like that come from the internet, which to a degree is great, but it's not firsthand experience. It's not, I haven't been there, I haven't experienced the culture, I can't speak on it from a firsthand basis.
Yes.
I don't have the right to speak into anybody's experiences from that place. Like,
you don't know.
And that's I don't know.
That's something that I think a lot of folks have the most trouble dealing with as an answer. And that's where a lot of people get into extreme conspiracy theories as well, is they want an answer to a question that sometimes is, we're not 100% sure. We have a couple of ideas, but we don't know. And then you can get into the philosophical argument of, we know nothing except what we have to accept.
Yeah.
But the general problem is that you'll see a lot of people, like, they'll have conspiracies about COVID, where they'll have this entire elaborate tree planned out, but it's because they want an answer now. They want an answer that they can feel comfortable with. It's like, okay, I know what's happening, so then I know what to do. Instead of sometimes being, we're not really sure, we're trying to figure it out. What we can is our best ideas on what to do in the meantime from what we've learned previously. But in the end, we don't know, and we don't know yet.
My favorite will always be the old gentleman who came to my landfill and said, there's no COVID, it's just Canada reestablishing the communism.
Communism.
And our question was, reestablishing?
Yeah, that was kind of how I looked at him. But yes, there's people like that. I love my parents because my parents were very, very about, like, different cultures. Before I even started traveling, we opened our door to international exchange students.
Yes.
We had a bunch of Japanese, some German, and a few Scotsmen, and they taught me about their cultures and vice versa. I'm 100% blaming Ri. She was one of the Japanese ones for my obsession with anime.
Yeah.
Because all we had at the time was Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon.
Yeah, and I didn't even understand, like, why those shows were so different yet when I was first saw them.
But then in the old heydays of LimeWire and Kazaa, I'm like, hey, do you know any other animes? And she's like, Slayers and Trigun. You're going to love that.
Oh, Trigun.
Yeah.
Trigun. That opening, though.
But yeah, and that was one of the first, like, subtitled animes I watched. And I watched the whole thing. I'm like, this is amazing.
It wasn't. Honestly,
I would love Rob is like, I would love to travel with Rob. Just somewhere that I've never been before, because I'm kind of in the same boat as Kyle, where I've only been out of province, like, to Winnipeg, and that's it.
Okay, man, let me save you really quick. You do want to travel, maybe not necessarily with Rob, because I've heard his stories about him and Jack and Mexico, and there are reasons to fear traveling to a place that you've never been, but Rob has.
Actually, if we go back to Mexico, my sister moved city, so it'd be new to me too.
That's even scarier.
Yeah, that's even scarier because you still have an obnoxious amount of confidence.
Sorry, Megan, go ahead.
So here's the thing. Yeah, here's the thing about Rob, though, is like, when he has the confidence about, like, an area that he's going to, he does teach fairly well. Like, folklore festival, for example, I had never gone, so my first time was actually going with Rob, and Rob was literally like a tour guide for me. He was bringing me to, like, specific booths. Obviously, he had to run to get the bananas first, so we made that stop first. He's like, "Bah, the bananas!" But as we were going along, he would stop at the booth and then tell me, like, "This is, you know, this culture's food booth. I like this item from this booth. If you want to try it, we should." And then, you know, I would stand there and I would chat with them, and Rob would do his thing too. But it was like, this is why I think traveling with Rob to a place that he's been before that he's enjoyed wouldn't be that bad.
There's a travel custom I have that for every new place I go to, new or old, I like to get lost, because that's when you find the real stuff.
See, that's what's scary.
That's the scary part.
I get to a lot of people that's scary, but whenever I go to these places, I try and ignore what, like, the media tells you of. Like, when I go to Mexico, everyone's like, oh, the gun violence, oh, the cartel. No!
No.
Just don't be a jerk, and they'll be nice to you, like any other place.
Yep.
Smiling
was a
goes
Polish,
a long way.
Yeah, I'm a Polish guy who went to Germany. Obviously got a little paranoia there. I wound up getting, like, joyfully blackout drunk with a lot of people. I went to Amsterdam. Got totally lost for various reasons. not intentionally that time.
I admire Rob's travel. I think I'm too much of a hypochondriac to go that route myself, where I'm like, man, I need to know where I am. Where is my place in the universe? Or at least Google Maps.
I can kind of like attest to like Rob's walking around randomly thing, because like even Toronto, where I've only been like a couple times, when I went down last time, I didn't have a working phone or any sort of internet access or anything like that. I touched down, went, I'm going to go that direction, and started walking, and was like, figure out where I am at the time. And like, I eventually like, you know, hit an internet spot, and my sister's flipping out, sending me 100 messages being like, where are you? What are you doing? And I'm like, I have no idea, honestly. I'm going to ask some random here where the airport is, and we're going to go from there.
I mean, Andrew, remember the ice cream donuts we got? That's because we just wandered around.
I also got spam calls for the next year because they sold my number to somebody.
They're not all perfect victories, hey. But we got free ice cream donuts.
I did get a free ice cream donut, though.
Fair enough.
So it's like, that's my mom made sure to teach me to do stuff. When we travel as a family, my mom intentionally hates tourist spots. She's like, oh, no, that's where the people who don't live here go. I want to know, where do you go for lunch? Like, when we went to Jamaica, everyone's like, no, don't leave the resort. Don't leave the resort. It's dangerous if you're not from Jamaica. We went to a farmer's market in Artisan Alley and had the time of our lives.
Just as a disclaimer, not everybody should do that.
Not everyone.
No, I get it. It's not for everyone, but it's like,
Rob, you have a magical power where you're going to be fine. If me and Kyle tried that, we would be like, you know,
I'd wind up on the news.
We'd be reading a message crying into a camera.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell on the show the Jack story about how I made him cry?
I think so, but I don't know which story that is, and one of them you can't tell.
It's not that one.
No. It's the
radio friendly one. Yeah. So when Jack and I went to Mexico, at the time there were no police. They were, because it was so corrupt, they decided scrub all the police. Military will temporarily step in while we build the police back up. So everywhere there would be cops, you would see fully armed military people with loaded AK-47s. And,
delightful. You know, that's not terrifying whatsoever, Rob. Rob's like, just a leisurely stroll in Mexico.
You know, it wasn't bad because you don't bug them, they don't bug you. And so we were walking one day and we rounded a corner and there were two military officers right there and they started pointing at us and speaking Spanish, which neither of us do.
Uh-huh.
Now, Jack and I instinctively, you know, hands up. But then I looked around and noticed behind me, there's a taco vendor. And I put two and two together. It's like, oh, they're just trying to order food. But Jack was just standing there, no, tears in his eyes, and they're still pointing, and they're just like,
move.
Just before full tears, I'm like, Jack, they just want tacos, just get out of the way. And he's like, oh, sorry. And it was, I could have told him a little sooner.
I'd honestly probably be in Jack's position where I'd flip out and go, I'm gonna die.
But yeah, but they were super friendly. We had a laugh about it, and then we carried on.
So,
I love that.
We need to head to our last break here, folks, but stay tuned to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca.
CILU is sponsored in part by the Students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
The Foundry at 242 Red River Road, open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Monday to Saturday, featuring folk in Mondays, karaoke Tuesdays, trivia Wednesdays, open stage Thursdays, and live music weekends. Find out more at thefoundrypub.com. The Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra. Log on to tbso.ca or call 626-TBSO for details on the 2019-2020 season and how to get tickets. The Lakehead University Student Union, promoting action, advocacy, and service by bringing you student centers. Learn more by visiting their office in the tunnels of the student center or by logging on to lusu.ca.
And we're back. You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. Here on Thunder Geek, sometimes we like to talk about mature things, like comic books and cartoons. And the movie we're about to discuss contains mature themes as well, so listening discretion is advised. Speaking of inflicting trauma, I made Kyle and Rob watch
perfect
the movie.
Segue.
I know, I'm great at segue.
Perfect segue.
So I made
but
you guys,
is it?
I heard of a movie. I saw the trailer. It made me excited. It sounded like a groundbreaking psychological thriller, and I believe it was. And it touched me deeply.
Oh, too deep for my liking.
It went very deep. It's got a very profound title. It's called Butt Boy, and it is a horror movie. It is a straight-up psychological thriller horror movie that may or may not involve a magical butt dimension.
Oh, does it? It doesn't explain how it works.
You don't need to know.
He just has a giant cavern.
Kyle, that's how it works.
In his butt.
Butt dimension.
So, I mean, I guess possible sensitive content warning. We're
and spoilers?
Talk, and spoilers. We're going to talk about...
Spoiler warnings!
Anytime
you're talking about... It's a new movie, so we have to get...
Yeah, it is a very new movie. We have some people may want to see this upon their own. And guys, if you do want to see a movie, a horror movie called Butt Boy that may or may not involve a magical butt dimension, spoiler warning. But fantastic. This movie was everything I was hoping it was going to be when I saw this trailer.
I didn't know what this movie was going to be. I watched the trailer. I'm like... Okay.
I wanted an explanation, but they never gave us one.
Okay. Was it just me, or were the two main actors not Ryan Reynolds with a beard and not Matthew McConaughey with a beard?
Yeah. No word of a lie. It's like they got like off-brand versions of Matthew McConaughey and Ryan Reynolds to play the two main actors with one of the greatest relationships I have ever seen with the main guy and his wife.
Yes, they understand each other. Like that was something I did appreciate as well, where they were able to communicate between each other and she picked up on it right away. Where, you know, there was that table scene where it's like, oh, you had a health scare. It's like, yeah, honey, but you got better. And she's like, oh, yeah. She knew something was going on, so she's going to go along with it. Which, I mean, may not have been the best option with what was actually going on, but let me set up the movie.
Sucked.
So one of our main characters, not Ryan Reynolds with a beard. His name is Chip. The movie starts out where he's getting a prostate exam, and he kind of likes it. You know, he's like,
his new kink.
Yeah, he's like, ooh, you know, went up with just sausage fingers. He's like, oh, okay, you know, that wasn't so bad.
Okay,
so,
hold on. I just want to point out that doctor was incredibly, like, rude and just straightforward with what he was doing.
Uh-huh.
And he went in dry.
Yes.
Oh, no.
No warning.
No warning, no thing, no nothing. He just went glove on, popped it in, and I was like, I'm horrified.
Yeah, but like, if that happened to me at the doctor's office, I'd be like, no. Say choo choo or something, but let me know.
No, I don't want my doctor to say choo choo.
Choo choo.
No, it's like if I was the doctor giving a prostate exam, I would just be like, here we go.
Okay, well, I just want to point out a story. This is going to be a little like TMI story, but like,
yeah,
I'm,
Kyle,
you know, 27 year old male. Okay. I'm a 27 year old male that has prostate exam scares, right?
Yes.
And the first one I went to, my dad, before he left the room, went, don't forget to smile at him, and walked away. And I went, I'm not smiling, man. There's nothing anyway. Continue your recap of the...
Okay,
what?
Well, I mean, I'll ask after I set up the movie. So Chip, the next time he's, you know, having relationships with his wife, you know, just wants her to try, like, hey, can you know, tries to move her hand back there, and she's like, ew, no, I don't want to, and stuff. So, instead, Chip starts trying to satisfy his new interest in other ways, where he starts off with, like, he puts a bar of soap up there, and then he tries the remote, then the family dog, and then Chip hits rock bottom, where at a park, he steals a baby, and it is implied that he also puts it up his butthole.
Implied, it's a kid at the
end. He puts it up his butthole. This is the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Before the credits.
So Kyle, you've had some things up your butt. How do you know you do not have a magical butt dimension?
I saw it through camera.
Oh, okay, that's fair. That's as long as you've had video evidence.
Can you imagine that scene if that was in the movie? It's just like someone's pointing a camera, you just see the like people, it's like,
oh, boss. Demons.
I'm remembering the episode of like South Park where, you know, there's like the ghost frog. The ghost frog be like, you must go on a magical journey.
The Lemmy Winks episode.
Kind of.
Hey, in the games, you get to go through the Mr. Slave.
It's true. Kyle, please, I wish that you would have, like, had, you know, a recording of your insides, and then we could have edited some creatures in there for you.
No, you don't want a recording of my insides. I can tell you from first hand, it wasn't a great experience to watch on television. It wasn't Lord of the Rings.
I mean, we could be Lord of the Rings. We're gonna contextualize this bad memory into a happy one. We're just gonna add like a magical forest.
Kyle, it wasn't Lord of the Rings, it was Lord of the Rim.
Lord of the Rim?
It was Lord of the Rectum.
Alright, we're done here.
Don't worry, he can't run.
Don't forget to in.
9 years go by.
Oh in gosh. So, okay, so
what chip does
Chip is
so not Ryan Reynolds, the chip. He's the one that had, you know, he tried to kill himself after he put a baby up his butthole. And that's when he hit rock bottom. So what he did instead to try to redirect his addiction is he started going to AA and pretending he had alcoholism and using those techniques to, you know, resist his temptation. And he becomes the sponsor of Not Matthew McConaughey with a Beard Russell. He is a hardened detective that plays by his own rules. But Megan, you would love Russell, I think. Do you think Megan would like Russell?
Yes.
Hey, he's not a bad guy.
He's not a bad guy whatsoever. He's just going through a hard time right now.
He's a pretty good guy.
And he's trying to get better. So Chip becomes Russell's sponsor for AA. And Russell starts becoming very suspicious of Chip because not only is he just failing in his duties as an AA sponsor, when he asks Chip more questions and stuff, it doesn't seem that Chip, you know, drinks at all or doesn't have an issue with it. He has no stories about it or anything like that. He's very suspicious. Of course, having this new pressure on him as well, Chip ends up having a relapse when he's playing Sorry with his family and in the middle of the night gets out of bed and puts a Sorry piece up his butthole. And
I don't like this.
Once he has a drop, he just keeps going and he just starts putting everything he can find up into his butthole.
He vacuums things in there.
He gets there.
Sorry, what?
He turns into Kirby.
As Russell learns. Well, what it ends up culminating is he not only steals a plaque, the Perseverance plaque from work, and then deletes the camera footage so no one knows that it's him. There's a Bring Your Kid to Work Day, and he ends up putting another kid into his butthole that goes missing. And
no,
Russell is the only one that suspects what's really going on here. That in fact, Chip has a magical butthole dimension that he's putting things and people up into.
How do you just casually suspect that?
No, honestly, the police chief, when he asks, the guy's like, so you want me to give you permission to follow a man who you think is putting things up his butthole?
Yes.
And the guy's like, yes. And I'm like,
why does
the police chief's just like, get out of my office? And I'm like, it's yeah, proper response when someone's like, yeah, he's inhaling things through his butthole.
See, I want to talk about the fact that like when he steals the security footage, it's on floppy.
It's a floppy disk.
It's a floppy disk, yeah.
How many floppy disks would that actually take to make a 5-minute like 720p video?
Oh, things we don't know it's that high quality. I don't think we're ever given a time this is set.
But we see him on modern computers. The computers are modern.
Yeah, he's on like.
Oh, he's on a flat screen.
Update. Yeah, he's on like updated computers.
I don't recall any cell phones happening.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
But the monitors were modern.
I didn't. Good catch.
Timeline issues.
I mean, we have that very tense dinner between them because Chip is trying to make amends and kind of cover up what's going on. So he invites Russell over to come have dinner with his wife. And that's when we had that really tense exchange where Russell's being very suspicious, and Chip is just kind of implying things to his wife, where he's like, go along with this, and she does. Russell ends up finding the floppy disk with the footage of him putting the child up his butthole. And that's when we have that big showdown and the fight between Chip and Russell. And then we find out that, yes, Chip can in fact pull down his pants, spread his butt cheeks, and start sucking things in like Kirby.
I hate this movie.
Why does this sound like an episode of Rick and Morty? Like, this is obscene. This is, like, it sounds...
Rick and Morty makes more sense than this.
This sounds like a South Park episode. Like, legit. Like,
somebody acted this. Like, somebody see him stop and bend over. Yeah, you see him stop and, like, bend over full ass out and, like, everything. And you just see him hoovering. Yeah, you just see him hoover things up.
Like, some movie producer. Yeah, the script. Some movie producer was, like, walking down the street. And, like, he saw, like, a 9-year-old kid, like, drawing a comic book about a guy who's sucking people up through his butthole and thought that was a great idea, started making a movie.
I don't
audition for those movies?
I don't know how the movie got approved. I don't know how it got funded. I haven't looked into that. It is an amazing feat, and it's not an asylum movie either, because as hilarious as all of this is, it is all played completely straight and serious, which makes it funnier because, like, they are satirizing really hardcore, like, dramatized psychological thriller movies with a ridiculous modus operandi.
Oh, gosh.
I adore this movie. Like, I don't know what I seen. It definitely doesn't have a message at the end of it or anything like that. But will you at least give me, Rob, without spoiling everything, the ending practical effects?
Nah, it's just someone with a bucket.
I still had fun with the bucket. There was lots of it.
They explore a butt cave.
Literally.
A dog survived in there for 9 months.
I don't want to spoil everything, but yes, like Russell actually gets sucked into the butt dimension and stays in there for
who else is possibly know. Going to be watching this. That's what are you spoiling it for?
Who's going out of their way to be like, you know what, this sounds like one cinematic masterpiece.
Okay.
I have, you know
what, anal enthusiast.
Fair point. I love this movie to death. What ends up happening is Russell gets drunk, infiltrates Chip's child's birthday party, which is in fact a laser tag. Tying this back.
Why does this sound like me? Getting drunk and, like, going to, like, my niece's laser tag party.
So Russell shoots Chip, and then Chip sucks Russell into his butthole dimension, where he not only sees that all of the things that Russell has ever sucked up into his butthole has remained perfectly preserved. So the child that went missing at work is still in there, as is the baby who was sucked up 9 years ago, as in fact Russell's son, and the reason he became an alcoholic.
The whole time.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the whole time they're in this butt dimension, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Chip is being awarded for being, like, a savior.
Yes,
and a hero for stopping this crazy madman that just disappeared into thin air that nobody questions. He gets a promotion from RIT, the, like, tech department, who has a Walmart cheer, where they, like, get together and, like, boo, boo, clap, boo. And they're like, cheer and start a little rap.
The hollowness of his job, I love how depressing they made that sort of open concept office. We are not just a business and a workplace. We're a family and an idea and a culture.
Anytime, so no one even has a cubicle?
No one has.
They have
cubicles.
They have kind of.
Like, low cubicle.
Low wall, very open cubicles.
Yeah.
You've worked at Walmart before, you had to do the
cheer.
The Walmart cheer.
It's cult-like and creepy.
You know how emotionally draining it is when you're just having that day and you're like, yeah, I'm not having this right now. Like, I don't want to cheer.
You saw me, Kyle. In fact, I went the opposite direction, where I'm like, if they're going to make me cheer, I'm going to make it as awkward and hilarious for them as it is for me.
Same, bro, where we were just all energetic into it. We're like, yeah, let's do the cheer.
And especially the managers that don't want to do it, I am extra enthusiastic. Just
you're like, come on.
Come on, let's do the cheer.
Come on. Come on, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Let's do this.
Give me an R.
Yeah, give me a W.
But Russ, so Chip during his examinations after he's, because he got shot in the leg, gets another prostate exam from a lady doctor this time, who is a lot more polite. She's way better at this. You know, she counts him in, tells him to exhale, whoop. And then Russell sees his way out, so he starts experimenting on how to make things leave the butt dimension. So Russell just starts, you know, getting the violent stomach green apple splatters. And so, like, you know,
just so we're aware, this other doctor, you say she's very nice, but she also told him he's loose
and to have 2 Vicodin every
and
couple
gives
hours.
Him 2 Vicodins every 4 hours.
Okay, I don't know. Whoa. The medication.
That's house level Vicodin. Like, that's an addiction.
She's probably getting a kickback from Vicodin. I'm not saying the American medical institution is perfect. I'm saying that they are the key to escaping the magical butt dimension.
There's a reason this main character has no emotional value to him at all.
And it's because he's it's all about Vicodin.
One of my favorite things is when he puts a couple objects through there first, so like the soap, the remote. But then, like, he has to send something live, so he puts the family dog, who has now remained preserved. And, oh, man, that poor dog came out so sloppy.
No.
It was just the family dog just sitting in the bowl, just covered in SpaghettiOs. It was real. Ooh, makes me not want to eat SpaghettiOs.
Makes me not want to watch this movie.
You know what it was eating. You know it was what it was eating.
There was no water in there.
I mean, you get hydration from the thing.
Poo water.
Yum. Dysentery. It's like Oregon Trail, Kyle.
Yeah, that's the problem. I've played Oregon Trail. My people die from dysentery. I learned what that was.
So I'm not going to lie, Andrew. The entire time you were talking, I messaged the director and asked him for an interview.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I want to know.
I need to know more about this movie. I adore it. It's fantastic. This
Although
is like
the
we
director
saw Dave made
is
Maze.
Butt boy. The director is butt boy.
The director's the main actor.
Yeah.
He's not Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to ask him. He's like, hey, do you ever get called not Ryan Reynolds with a beard? Because, man, you look like Ryan Reynolds with a beard. And you casted Matthew McConaughey with a beard. Well, not Matthew McConaughey with a beard. Fantastic. They were both fantastic in it as well. Like, the amount of, like, uncomfortable tension that they gave between them without actually speaking. Really, it was a well-put-together movie about something hilariously stupid.
I want to talk with him, so fingers crossed.
And you know what? Let's be clear as well. They are very tasteful when they put things up his butt. They never show it. It's always implied. And I like that.
There's the one scene where you do see the light bulb from the lamp sticking out.
Yeah, he does have the lamp.
Okay, minor details. I mean, we've all seen a light bulb in a butthole at some point, let's be honest.
No? I don't know you, Jane, but oh boy.
A very specific kind of Adam's Family parody.
No.
Oh, that's a Wood
Rocket
production.
No.
No, it's like, we could, it could be the Ouija Shark people. The Ouija Shark people. We're back to Ouija Shark.
I still, if Ouija Shark can make a movie, we can make a movie.
I can't believe that movie, like, Butt Boy exists.
No,
honestly,
it exists, but I mean, like, we at least agree, like, it's well edited. It has fantastic sound. It's a well made movie.
That's the worst part, is it's actually, like, well shot. It's not on, like, bad camera angles. There's nothing like this. It's actually well put together.
It's a fantastically made movie.
It does have horror movie elements. It